With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback of Washington.
And that is how every single Pluckers reacted. Maybe you in your living room as well. And the Sports Nation. Final hour, thank God, of the week here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby with round one of the NFL Draft. Coming out with the number one storyline in Atlanta. Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons at 8.
So I'm guessing there were no pick 8 drink specials or wing specials last night.
No, there were not.
No, but let me tell you what a stud Mike Bacsik was last night. And I already told Hagelin, his jaw hit the ground. Mike Bacsik is such a man of the people. He was having me look up the leakers.
Oh.
He's like, go to Rappaport. Get Schefter. I want these people to get all free stuff every pick. And, you know, they've kind of clamped down on that.
They have.
Leaking the picks early because it ruins it. It ruins the drama. Well, he found one story. I think it was the Draft Network. It was Tony Pauline.
Oh.
Whoever it is. But he's like, keep that up and tell me who they're picking. Oh. So Mike wanted everyone at Pluckers to get all the specials. So we looked it up and he's manipulating the board.
Yeah. So you brought people up late. I brought him up as soon as they were on the clock. Just like as soon as the team got on the clock. So we would make the pick and then they'd be waiting like 5-6 minutes.
So you're not a man of the people, is what you're saying.
I'm a man of let's get this thing done. So we
No, we got it earlier than that. We brought people up 5-7 picks in advance.
But how 5-7 picks in advance to make the announcement?
I messed up early. I was, like, trying to knock it out. Anyway, we can talk about this off air. People aren't. I'll tell you. Mike was hooking people up with food and drinks. That's all you need to know.
Thanks, Mike.
Also, what you need to know is that the Atlanta Falcons drafted Kirk Cousins' replacement. What the F? Most shocking draft pick that you can remember since?
Long time. That's shocking.
Now, let me ask a couple follow-ups.
There we go.
And maybe some devil's advocate. If Penix is 21, do we care about this?
Yeah, because it still doesn't make sense because there's the whole point of a rookie quarterback is the 5-year window.
Yeah, but why aren't we giving them the Green Bay Packer praise?
Because
the RG3 Kirk Cousins praise.
Because
shouldn't someone go to Cousins and be like, "This is devil's advocate. Yo, man, shut your mouth. You were Penix because RG3 was you."
Right, but Kirk was 4th round, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's different, right? You don't draft somebody at 8 to stow for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Love and Rodgers were picked in the 20s, and they were guys that fell.
Yeah, and I look at it different because it's Green Bay had somebody in place on their roster for 15 years, and they're like, here's the replacement to the guy who's been our guy for 15 years. Here's the guy that will be the replacement to our guy that's been here for 15 minutes.
Yep.
It was like you just paid him $45 million. You just locked a guy in post Achilles to sign him as a free agent. And then you go like not only sign him as a free agent, sign him as a free agent and tampered, willing to lose draft picks to do it.
Yeah.
And then you drafted Michael Penix with a ton of medical concerns. Number 8 overall. And I really like Penix. Penix was the third quarterback for me.
I like him a lot.
According to Andrew Brandt, Cousins just has $10 million guaranteed after next year. But that still leaves 2 years that he sits. All right? And he's 20. He'll be 28 years old by the time he starts.
Chris Winky, man.
Penix is not a kid. And, the Falcons, I mean, they drafted a running back in the top 10 last year. They drafted a tight end in the top 10 a couple years earlier. And then they drafted a quarterback they didn't need in the top 10.
Boy, they are playing 7-on-7 football. That's what they want.
Yep.
The Falcons GM said, quote, "If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have."
No, it's not.
"Because we're doing so well at that position. So it's as simple as if you see a guy you believe in that position, you have to take him. And if I'm Arthur Blank, I sit down." And this is after they didn't rank Belichick. This is the same front office that didn't put Belichick top 3. "I'm Arthur Blank, and I sit down and say, you know that people believe the number one way to win and the number one way to win in the National Football League, if you don't have Mahomes, is to win because of the rookie QB contract? How is that not applying here? That's almost a fire. What does the GM say back to you? Unless they're worried about Cousins medically.
Yeah, now they're worried
about Cousins. Which then makes them idiots for signing him.
Yeah, if they're worried about Cousins medically or they don't think the ankle can hold up or whatever, you know, then I understand this. But, you know, the whole idea that, you know, if he sits for 4 or 5 years, it's a good problem. No, it's not. He needs to be 30 years old for one. You've completely wasted his rookie quarterback window. You're going to pay him $23 million or more in his 50-year option to sit and watch. Like, no, this is not smart asset. This is not smart team building. Drafted a quarterback is smart team building, but not when you already have one.
Yeah, this isn't, oh, wow, Chicago passed on Caleb Williams. Oh, my goodness. Laremy Tunsil gas masked and fell to eight. Penix was always going to be there at eight. This wasn't new information to them. When they signed Kirk Cousins, they knew Michael Penix would be there at pick eight.
Yes.
And so
they
drafted him. It's not like this was like, man, something fell in our lap, unforeseen. We followed our board. We did this. It's like, okay, fine. You can pick Michael Penix and believe all that. All that tells me is that imagine you were saying, what if Penix falls to 24? Would the Cowboys take him? And I still think that would have been a bad idea. But let's imagine that we were having that discussion and we were having that discussion a day after Dak had signed a 3-year extension where it's like,
yeah,
okay, well that the whole reason was because Dak hadn't signed an extension yet. Yeah. This is done. You've locked it in. This is,
we said this enough about Lance and he was cost you a fourth. Forget about number 8 overall. We're like, why did you give up a fourth for Lance? What's he going to do? What's he going to do here? That you're trying to scare Dak Prescott with that? I didn't believe that, but that was an argument that was made. Now, here's my other devil's. This is my biggest devil's advocate point. Does Kirk Cousins and his agent, do they really have the right to be talking this loudly? That's what I was wondering to myself last night. Like, according to, you know, Cousins is shocked and disappointed. The agent came out and said, we're all completely blindsided. Could I come back and say, so what? Shut your mouth. Mm. They didn't draft him to replace you. You're still the man there for your contract. They're trying to set themselves up for the future. Or would you come back and say, well, Cousins has a right to be ticked off and upset because they didn't get him a win now player. But does Kirk Cousins hold that weight? Like Aaron Rodgers didn't even get that weight. Rodgers didn't get that weight in Green Bay where they're drafting him win now guys. So all of a
sudden.
But
we all disagreed with it. Their plan, right? Like, you know, yes. Cousins is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Like that there's a, this is not like he's a bum.
Right.
This is not like he is a, hey, shut your mouth and go do your job. You're not good enough to talk like this. I mean, this is like.
But this isn't like that, you know, that's kind of reserved a lot of times for Brady, for Rodgers. Like.
But I mean, I would expect that if you just value me enough to go on the open market.
Is it more of an insult to Cousins' status or that you didn't get Cousins a win now player? Because it shouldn't be an insult to his status. He's locked in. This is not a replacement.
No, but he's locked. He's only locked in because that's the thing.
He's locked in.
Unless
he breaks his leg.
I think clamor for the backup quarterback first 2-game losing streak.
I think the issue is, we are in an era of quarterbacks playing until they're, 40, 41 and everything else. And so, I mean, if Cousins is 35, he may view it as like, I could be here for 6 more years and you're already kind of writing me off before I think that's the thing is that you haven't even let me get a snap in before you decide if you need to have a plan in place to replace me.
Well, they
in
can
2
say
years.
You're 30. First off, we paid you. I don't know how many other people are going to pay you that contract. We gave you that money. You know, people think that you are, no, they're not going to say this, but this is all the truth. People think that, okay, all you're here to do is to get us maybe to 11 wins. We're not going to win a Super Bowl with you. And you're 35 coming off a major injury. We still paid you. So, yeah, forget. I'm playing.
Yeah.
I'm bringing up the other side. So, please forgive us, Kirk, for being worried about our next quarterback right now. When you're 35 years old and you're coming off that injury, we are going to protect ourselves. We're going to do this best interest of the organization. If you want to be mad because we didn't get you another weapon or a defensive player, I can go ahead and see some of that. But this being an insult to Kirk Cousins, I don't know that it is.
But if you are going to say we're not going to win a Super Bowl, then don't sign Kirk Cousins. Just draft Penix.
Right. If you're not trying to win a Super Bowl, why are you paying the quarterback?
They are trying to win a Super Bowl.
But even if they're realistic about it and they say, like, we're not going to beat San Francisco right now or anything else, like, I don't understand. There's just no logic behind it. Honestly, if I was Kirk Cousins, I would just go, oh my gosh, I signed with a stupid organization.
Yeah.
That'd not be an insult. It's just like, what
it's
are
not,
you
it's not like
doing?
You're insulting to me. Yes. It's not like you didn't get me enough help. It's like, you guys are dumb.
I agree.
Like, that's the biggest problem.
I was just asking myself, what do the Atlanta Falcons owe Kirk Cousins? That's what I was asking myself last night.
Kirk Cousins and
his team, did it really call for them to release this big statement? Michael Penix ain't taking his job. It's not happening in the first 2 years. He's not taking his job. He's not a threat. I don't believe.
Who's closer to retirement, Kirk Cousins or 40-year-old Michael Penix with his two knees and everything? I mean, honestly, that's the wild thing is that you've sunk massive assets into a 35-year-old coming off an Achilles and another 35-year-old who has two bad knees. And you picked him at number eight.
Then he hurt his shoulder, too, at one point.
And the other thing is, what are you going to do while you build your offensive line? Like, are you going to build the offensive line for the future with a left-handed quarterback, or are you going to build it right now for a right-handed quarterback and have a poor blindside blocker for Cousins the next
year? No, if I was Cousins, I would go and I'd be ticked and be like, yo, man, the whole goal here is to win a title. Like, this is all in, win now. So, like, let's get a player with the number 8 pick that can help win now and not sit and rot on the bench if I'm healthy for 3 or 4 years. Obviously, Caleb Williams, the big-time story. Choppa, you had Caleb Flags. You were power ranking the Caleb Flags and some hate for Lincoln Riley.
Yes. So the Caleb Williams red flags. Let's power rank these. Because I went through this article talking about all the red flags that he has. The nominees for the Caleb Williams red flags.
Okay.
His father. His old man controls everything. Carl Williams
is he acting as the agent or no? He doesn't have an agent, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have an agent. He plays a pivotal role in the day-to-day affairs. He contacted agents to see if Caleb could scoop up a minority ownership stake in whichever team drafted him per The Athletic. He's a controversial figure. He's got control over his son's life. They have planned this since childhood. They've been prepping him for this since childhood. He offers his sound bites about the process, his son's business holdings. He got a strong connection to Caleb. So his dad is a red flag. The painted nails is a red flag for some teams. His refusal to do medicals or anything pertaining to a normal pre-draft process. And he said other teams, he said, there's only not all 32 teams have a chance to draft me. So why would I give everybody my medical information?
It's like Deion said when he was coming out, he's like, I'm not getting to you. We don't need to do an interview. I ain't falling to you.
Crying in his mother's arms and then no agent. So not having an agent. Those are the red flags.
Yeah.
So which one really, you know, power ranking, which ones really matter? Which ones are teams really worried about?
I think that those are the public red flags. Like, I think there are other things about they wonder about. You know, Kyler coming out had red flags with, like, oh, the dad and the indecisiveness. There weren't public red flags about does Kyler embrace being a leader? Does Kyler command a room? Does Kyler, like those weren't public, but teams wonder about those. I think similarly, there are just questions about what kind of a leader is Caleb? What kind of a CEO is Caleb? Like, those are more the questions rather than, I think it's easy to boil down to, oh, it's the nails or it's the crying in mom's. I think it's more personality flags that teams are a little worried about. But I mean, I think there are plenty of teams that also think that's old thing. I talked to a scout in the league a couple weeks ago who said that's old head thinking. That, like, you can't think of players that way.
By the way, Diana Rossini from The Athletic said Penix did not take a top 30 visit to Flowery Branch. The Falcons only attended a 45-minute workout and met with him at the combine. It's almost unheard of for a quarterback taken in the first to not be on a team's top 30. In the end, Atlanta felt comfortable with the work they did.
Does Flowery Branch sound like a really nice town? Sounds like a really nice part of town.
It sounds like a
sounds like a
vegan restaurant in the Arts District.
Flowery Branch. Where do you live? Flowery Branch.
Yes.
So I live in Flower Mound. I grew up in Farmers Branch. So those are my people.
All right. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece. My savior, Mike Bassick, at 9:40. But we want you to hear from your brand new Cowboys player. We get the access first, and you get to hear it next on Sean and RJ on the home of America's team right here on The Fan.
With the 29th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma.
There it is, Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma Sooner, your brand new Dallas Cowboy.
Former Oklahoma Sooner. Remember, Jerry? Zach said the same thing, though. Zach said, former Oklahoma Sooner, now Dallas Cowboy.
Was he pumped? Like, just recap y'all's interview with him.
Yeah, he was, I believe he said, I'm effing ecstatic. I don't know that he knew we were on the air. I think he just thought it was another person he had to talk to within the organization or something. But he was pumped.
My thoughts on it are, you know, to steal from Mike Fisher, I'm gonna grade the process and the plan. I'll let Bobby and Zach and Broadus talk about the player. They wanted additional ammo. They needed additional ammo. It's kind of sad that we're so desperate we have to go about it like that for an all-in situation. And they had four guys on the same plane. If that is all accurate, especially the last one, if they had those four guys right in the same discussion, then go ahead and move back. Get one of them and pick up an additional third-round pick. I'm thumbs up for that process.
The process was great. You know, I look at it like instead of ranking these guys individually, put them in tiers. And it's, you know, if you – because, you know, you don't know – you may not know one-to-one on which one's better, you know, but you could tier them. You can group them and everything. And if you told me that – you have two choices. You have a 50-50 coin flip and one third-round pick or a 50-50 coin flip and two third-round picks. And I will take that all the time. I mean, you added a top, not only a top 100 pick, you added a top
75,
80. Yeah, top 80 pick. So, yeah, this was really a no-brainer. And I liken it to this. NFC Championship game, everyone kept saying to the Lions, just take the points. But you don't know they're going to make the field goal. And it's the same thing here. They would just take the center. Well, you don't know that the center is going to be any good. Yeah. He could be a complete bust. So, give me an extra dart, and I'll take that extra third-round pick.
And I'm definitely not going to get mad when you're drafting a tackle.
Right. Like, a position of mass premium, and the Cowboys have a really good history of being able to target good offensive linemen. So,
yeah. This is like their specialty.
Yeah, it's their specialty. Now, if it was a position that they don't generally draft well, all right, maybe we could have a different discussion. But they generally draft offensive linemen pretty well, especially high in the draft.
I think it's also important to see, like, I think maybe sometimes fans think of it in terms of, well, this is the universal thoughts on these players, and this is how they fall down. And so this stack would fall naturally. Like, everybody thought Michael Penix was worthy of the 8th pick. Everybody thought Laiatu Latu was worthy of the 15th pick. Like, going down the list like that. And the reality is it can be very different. Last night, Steven said they had 15 first-round grades, right? And so when they got to their point and they're like, hey, we don't have a first-round grade, but we got all these guys clustered roughly in the second round. Let's move back. We'll do this. Compare that to Denver. Denver yesterday, it was reported, Ed Werder was covering the Broncos. He had reported Denver had 26 first-round grades. It's 11 more than Dallas. If you have Denver scouting staff, you probably have one of your first-round picks left there, and you probably feel like, I can't trade away from first-round value in the first round and be left picking a second-round player. So you lose out on that capital. That's why I think it's important the job that Dallas's personnel department does and the history that they have. That's why these things that seem like just tiny little nuances are actually big margins and big gaps between you and other teams and your process and how you look at things. And I think it has set them up to be successful to make moves like the one they made yesterday.
If y'all have any day two, day three questions for Roberto on any of the prospects, targets, you can hit us up right now. 877-881-1053. We'll take a few Cowboy or NFL draft calls. 877-881-1053. Here's Jerry and Steven talking about their trade options and how the Lions got in the mix.
Conversations start to heat up once teams see that, hey, their guy may be there. So, you know, two picks out, one pick out, you're starting to get calls. I mean, Detroit's call didn't actually come till we were on the clock.
We had four trades working there at the same time. Four. And coming in and going back, giving us more, that type of deal, all of them active trades going on all at the same time on the clock.
Man, the Lions are aggressive. Last year they took Gibbs and the linebacker. They didn't care about the positional value. And then this year they're like, yeah, we'll just overpay.
Look at the phones for the draft appetite. My goodness.
And Detroit, to that point, didn't they go up to get Jameson Williams or somebody? They made an aggressive move, like a couple years ago, too.
They did.
I mean, that's Brad Holmes. And
he's Rams. I mean, he's F them picks guy. I mean, he was with the Rams when they were.
He's accelerate, let me get up and get my guy. Yeah. And I'll sacrifice future capital to do it.
Yep. I mean, but, like, they needed a corner because they lost Cam Sutton.
All right, before we get to your phone calls, here's Mike McCarthy on his new lineman and his potential.
Well, I think just like anything, I mean, the first thing you look at is the length, and, you know, being 6'7", and has great feet. And I just go back to, you know, the first 6'7", tackle that was around was John Alt, and ironically, his son Joe was, you know, drafted by the Chargers. So, I think there's a lot to it, but gosh, I mean, you got to be so excited about his athletic ability. I mean, you can see it in his footwork, and that was evident really from day one with Will and the scouts, and when you have the preliminary reads, you know, before you go out there. And I know Mike Solari going up to Oklahoma, you know, was very impressed with his work on, and obviously the feedback from the Oklahoma coaches was extremely high. So, but yeah, I haven't had too many tackles over 6'5", 6'6". So different body type than John Alt back in the 90s.
Yeah. Flozell Adams vibes from Coach. Oh, excuse me, earlier from Brian Broaddus. And there's McCarthy talking about how much of a monster this dude is. Gary in New Mexico. Gary, you are on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Go ahead, boss.
Yes, sir. Hey, I really like what they did last night, but I still really want a center. Bobby, do you think there's any chance they still have a shot or that they would go after Zach Frazier?
Yeah, I mean, look, if they get to a point where Jonathan Brooks is off the board, or, you know, they don't get things set up the way they want at pick 56, and sitting at that 56, if Jonathan Brooks gets snatched up, they very easily could, if Zach Frazier is still on the board, that's the center from West Virginia, you know, they could take a shot at him. You know, I think that there are some people who believe Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, he could play center. Cedric Van Praan is one we've talked a lot about from Georgia. He's probably more a third round. I know there are a couple teams around the NFL, they have him as graded as a fourth round player. So right around third, fourth, but yeah, Frazier is clearly, I think, for them, the top center left on the board, even with Jackson Powers Johnson there. I think Frazier is their top graded center. It's just a matter of, can you get him down to you at 56?
Noah in South Texas. Noah, you're on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
Hey, Bobby. Last night at the end of the broadcast, I heard you ask Broaddus if you think this guy would start. Do you think mm-hmm. he's a day one starter, or do you think there's a backup plan in place?
No, I don't. I think that they are going to operate under the assumption that he's going to start day one. I wonder, just because veteran coaches typically have problems trusting young players right out of the gate, especially young raw players. We see it, like, just draw it over to basketball. How often do we see, like, Jason Kidd just refuses to put, no matter mm-hmm. how poor the rotation is or anything else, just he has trouble putting in young players, because a lot of times coaches say, I would rather have somebody in there who knows what they're doing with worse ability than somebody who doesn't know what they're doing and better raw ability. And so I just wonder, if everybody's jobs are on the line and everything else, that's a big ask to say, hey, blindside blocker, let's have it be a raw rookie. He very well could start, but that's why I said it. That was my question. I was curious. I wonder if he starts. I don't know what they're going to do yet.
Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, there,
after
day one of the draft, where you had a team do one of the most inexplicable things ever.
Which they have been covering.
Which they have been covering. And then there's other players picked. And the whole thing.
There's other players picked.
Is Micah Parsons disgust over Quinyon Mitchell going to Philadelphia.
That's their topic on TV.
They're treating Micah like he's Mel Kiper with this. He's a draft guru. Like, he knows. Yeah. Like, he sits there studying all these guys.
Kurt, my man Kurt in Maryland. Kurt, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, man? You're live on the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bobby, quick question for you, because, of course, we know the fascination with Jonathan Brooks. But my question to you is, there's some D tackles in this second round. Brandon Fritz from Florida State. Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Mason Smith. Do you know if they would if one of them guys, I mean, I don't know if they have a second round draft, grade on one of them guys. Do you think they would go D tackle that early if one of them guys was there?
It's interesting. So I don't know if the Cowboys do. I know there are some teams around the NFL that have flagged Braden Fisk from Florida State for medicals. And so, but I mean, it is a second round. Cowboys, that may only increase the opportunity that they would take somebody like that. Defensive tackle. Look, I've gotten into fights about this till my face is blue that I think you need to bank on Osa and Mozzie Smith being good enough and then just address where you don't have starters right now. But I mean, with the extra day two pick here, could they like somebody like Chris Jenkins, like you mentioned there, Michael Hall from Ohio State, or one of these guys? Do they want to take a chance on Tavondre Sweat from Texas, who seems like he's free falling? I think that all those potentially could be on the table for them if they feel like they've got linebacker and running back handled.
All right, Jason in Dallas, you're up next. Jason, you are live on the home of the Cowboys.
Hey, how's it going? So I wasn't really expecting the Cowboys to make that trade back. I was kind of really expecting them to get Graham Barton in 24. But now that they had that extra pick, you kind of answered my question on the last part about the Tavondre Sweat. Could you see them doing that and maybe just passing on Brooks and taking Brooks on the or taking Zach Frazier or something on the second round pick?
Yeah, look, I mean, the running back depth is better than the center depth. So, I mean, if you say, hey, what's the drop from Zach Frazier to the next center versus the drop from Jonathan Brooks to the next running back, I think if that's how you were measuring how you want to do it, you would take Zach Frazier, the center. They really, really love Jonathan Brooks. And I think that that's been the easiest pairing to make over the last 3 months has been to say Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys in the second round. But like I said, there are other positions here that they could definitely look at. Safety, defensive tackle, linebackers, obviously a big need. I think Edrin Cooper and Jonathan Brooks are two kind of big crushes for them today.
And finally, and I don't know if we've ever gotten a call from here, Mart, Texas.
Oh, all right.
You know where it is?
I know them from high school football.
Okay. McLennan County. Robert, are you in McLennan County?
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's McLennan County.
Okay, all right.
Nailed it.
Showing off my, Texas geography. Go ahead.
Oh, look out. All
right. Oh, we got a badass here.
Well done.
Screw all three of you.
Yes, sir.
Screw all of you.
Sir. All right, Robert, what do you got?
I'm a Texas fan, so I just had a quick question. You were talking about linebackers, too. This kid, Jalen Ford, I'm just curious. Do you think he's going to be gone in day two?
No, I don't. I think that they're, again, similar to Braden Fisk, a lot of teams have Ford flagged for medical. And I think in general, when I was talking to people around the league about Ford during the draft process, the thought with him was more like fourth, fifth round type of player is the kind of feedback that I heard. So I don't think he goes today.
Let's crosstalk with my man, my hero, the man who shocked the entire radio station, Mike Bassick, in the KMC Masterpiece, next on The Fan.
All right.
Can I give you a standing ovation?
Sean.
You are my hero.
I'm a superstar.
Under promise, over deliver. That's all he did. Yep. That's what he did. He got you with that old trick.
That's the way to go. You got to undersell, over deliver, man.
It sounds like you didn't do
a
great job.
The fan has a superstar getting paid league minimum. I mean, it's like when Mike Trout was with the Angels for those first 4 or 5 years. Oh. Hey, he deserved $30 million a year, but he was getting paid $700,000.
That poor bastard has got 10 home runs and 13 RBIs. Like, there is nobody getting on base
for anyone questioning the commitment and the dedication of Mike Bassick at Pluckers. He put on a damn show.
For 32 straight picks.
Wow.
I don't even care.
The whole time?
No, I did not pick up
that. There's 32 picks?
I did not pick up a microphone until, pick 18. I was like, you need to go, please.
He's living pre-merger.
You can float out of here. That's how great you are.
Did you record him?
I should have.
Do you have audio?
He was like a damn open mic night. He didn't just do. First, he started.
Run out of battery because it was giving us the red
light? I didn't pick it up and use it anymore after you left. I set the bar way too. I took over the Bassick energy, and he was like, "I was like, I would hire this man for banquets. Oh. I would hire this man for auctions. He had material. He had quick hitters. My wife was in awe. She's like, I thought the mic was not gonna. I was like, me too. And it was amazing.
What happened when the mic didn't work when I got there?
He walked in. Yeah, he goes, all right, listen up. I'm important. I'm Mike Bassi. I'm pretty famous. And this is what we're doing. If you want to sign up, get over here. If you don't, whatever. And then when people miss their picks, he's like, wow, way to let down everybody. The man of the people, he had me look up. He goes, find one of those people who leaks the picks.
Yes.
He goes, I want everyone to win Plucker's food and drink.
Okay.
So, what's the hit rate? Nothing. I think Kuiper got like 2 or 4 picks, right? We finally found an account that was leaking it, and Mike's like, oh, miraculously, you did it. No, you did it. And he's like describing all the food and the drinks. It was so impressive.
Thank you for bailing me out. I'll tell you one of the ones that I have no clue. I don't think we won.
And he drank more than I've ever seen since one time. I think he was trying to butter up to get hired here, and we met at some place on Cedar Springs. So he was like, all right, I'm going to go cut loose and be one of the guys. Oh. And then I've never seen him drink more than 2 drinks after that in 10 years or however long you've been here. And last night he walks it. Can I say this? Is it fine? He goes, Blue Moon. I want a Blue Moon. And I was like, I was drinking like small beers. And he's like, no, I'll take the big one. So he takes like the 32-ounce. Then these listeners, I think it was Tolo Steve, is like, bring us
Zimmerman,
over.
Zimmerman, last name?
Zimmerman, yeah. Patron shots. No hesitation. He takes the Patron shots. Then Artemio brings over Mexican candy shots. And
those
I'm like,
all
good. Right, this one you're going to get shut down. And Mike said, can't turn down shots. He took that. And then he had one final. And I was like, what is happening? What?
He was a different Mike last night.
What is happening?
When Mike does it, he's a hero. When I do it, I'm a problem.
That's a good point.
Well, Mike knows how to conduct himself. He doesn't even drink more than you.
I see how this works.
Yeah, so anyway, that's my praise.
Mike, you never like that with us, dude. Like, you never... You're always just so, like, timid.
Celebrating the Cowboys.
Oh, no.
Crap.
So what is a psychedelic frog? Now, we lost that
Great
pick.
Question. We lost that pick, too. It's some kind of... I think it's a beer of some kind.
It's a giant hurricane cooler thing, because we got it. Okay. That there's Red Bull in it, and there's like 4 or 5 different types of alcohol. It's like a Long Island IC, but it's green, and then they got a Red Bull on top of it.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of our servers was like running around. They were like, somebody ordered this. I don't know who, and they just set it at my table, and our old promo guy, Steven, he was like, I guess I'll drink it then. And I was like, it's all you, buddy.
Did your Pluckers treat the specials like they were the nuclear codes? And
Until after. My helper, her name was Kush. She was nice. Adamant that
Kush,
I do not.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, I do not tell the specials.
Well, let me tell you how much of a genius this guy is. He turns to me, he goes, Who sings that song, Fireball? And I was like, I don't know. My wife, Pitbull. Bassett gets on, he goes, I can't reveal what you're picking for, but if you're a fan of Pitbull, get ready. He was lighting up clues like that.
Great.
He was setting it all up.
I signed somebody's arm, and they said they're going to go get a tattoo of it, which I told them I thought was a poor idea. They couldn't get into a tattoo shop last night and texted me, and I said, if you change your mind, that's totally fine. And they said, no effing way, bro. I'm getting this tat today.
What?
Kevin, I think that's a great story, but I saw Mike's face change when you started talking about yourself.
Yeah, he took over. My crosstalk.
Mike, talk about how dumb the Cowboys are.
All right. No. They're the smartest organization in football. They make the most money, then that's all that matters.
Steven Jones.
I'm going to give all the ratings right now if you guys are okay, Kevin and Corey, because I just want to talk about the cycle of the Dallas Cowboy fan. I've talked about this before, but I think this is a great place to bring up the cycle of a Cowboys fan and why that Jerry clears about $4 billion a year for this organization.
Is this like the stages of grief?
Yes.
I could see that.
Yeah. We are now in the happy part. We just got... I have no clue if the Tyron dude's going to be great or not.
Tyler.
Great for him.
Tyler Guyton. So you merged his name.
The Tyron guy.
We just had him.
So good for him, man. He's awesome. But this is where we change as a Cowboy fan. I'm out of the circle. I don't care anymore. But this is where everything gets positive. And Jerry knows this. Jerry knows he has to fight through the disappointment of the playoffs. He has to fight through doing nothing in usually free agency or trade situations, usually. And he's like, I don't care. Like, we're not holding press conferences until we get to this part. And now for Cowboy fans, this is the great part of being a Cowboys fan. From now until September, what we don't know in September is we don't know if they're going to win or lose games. But from now until September, this is the greatest part of being a Cowboys fan. You're adding seven Hall of Famers in this draft. We don't know if they'll be, That's the Cowboys fans' feeling, is they're all going to be part of the Ring of Honor. They're all going to be Hall of Famers. They're all going to lead us to championships. Probably. In Oxnard, Jerry will talk about this is the greatest team he's ever seen in his life, better than the 92 or 93 or 95 team. Like, he does this every year. He's going to do the same press conference for an hour at Oxnard that bores me to death, but it excites a lot of Cowboy fans. And so we're in euphoria now.
I actually think it won't be the case this time. I think that's done from the fans.
What are the responses so far from trading down, getting an extra pick, getting an offensive lineman who's 6'7", he has the same name as a lot of our offensive linemen.
Yeah. They all do sound like people. They all have the same kind of name.
I think this is the most negative, and I'm not saying people aren't going to go to the stadium, but this is the most angry, pissed off, and I don't care what you do until the playoffs start.
But I think people are mad that
ratings are going to be up there and everything. I'm going to predict we don't fall for Super Bowl talk at any point in time during the season this year, like I have done in the past.
But think about it. People are upset that they did the smart thing. Like, they traded down, picked up a third, and took a position of importance, and people are upset about that. Like, there's just no pleasing people.
There's a lot of positive talk on social media after what they did. Great job getting an offensive lineman.
Getting a pick is a good thing.
Today, we're adding Ken Norton Jr. We're adding Emmitt Smith.
No, but that's
Mark
the thing.
Stepnoski.
No, I don't think I've seen that kind of overreaction, Mike. And I don't feel that way. And I'll just kind of, you think I'm one of the Cowboys, positive. Yeah. And I feel like there's still so much work they have to accomplish, not only for the rest of this draft, but they have to build a team still. But now here's the other thing. The next phase is the pressure's on McCarthy and Dak. Jerry has pressure, and he gets yelled at from January to now.
Yeah,
and then he turns it over and says, "Now those guys got to execute." Like that, I've given them tools.
At
now
they
got
to
do
they
that
have
part.
To execute now.
So that's where I am. Is now I'm getting ready to turn to. I need to see that. I need to see them make those moves happen.
Corey, I like what you're saying. What's coming up on the show today?
We do have Stephen Jones joining us at noon today. Zach Wolchuk will be in for not as long as he was with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton the other day. But
what time?
12:20.
But we have Steven, and then at 12:20, Wolchuk's
going to hop on
to break down the draft.
Yeah.
And then we will get the opposing response at 12:40.
So Stephen Jones, Stephen Jones is going to set the table for Wolchuk.
Yeah, Stephen Jones is the lead-in for Wolchuk, which we all knew was the big story there. We do have Masterpiece of the Week, Mike, your favorite segment.
Heck yeah.
And 1 o'clock hour, which is basically when Mike says, I'm done with the show, but I'm still here. Let's have some fun. And that's probably the best hour of the day.
Guys, tonight, I'm going to ask this last question because we got to go.
Will Jack Leiter throw a no-hitter?
NFL draft. Oh. Rangers.
Mavs
playoffs.
Mavs playoffs.
I'll be at dinner. No, so
what?
Neither.
None of them?
It's Friday, man. I'll turn off.
I'll be working the draft.
I don't do things on Friday.
But I'll tell you what. Reading off names on a card is 10 times more interesting than the way the Rangers have played baseball for the last 2 weeks.
Rangers are last.
So the Rangers are last.
Rangers are first. Because
we might go to the Ranger game tonight, so maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, TV?
No, I'm pre and post. So it's really pre and post is great for today because I do my pre, I go up and sit in a press box area and have the television on the Maverick game while the Ranger game's in front of me watching that, keeping box scores.
You guys got two good hats today. What is that hat?
Which one is
Duncanville
this?
High School, City of Champions.
Oh, Bogey Golf Bros. Guy. Bogey Bros, baby.
Very nice. Mike, thanks again. You're
all right. Coming up next, how many Super Bowls will Tyler Guyton win?
Oh, my God.
On the Fan.
Dun, dun, dun.